Now, back to more Sports Call with J.J. Jackson and the guys.
Welcome back into Sports Call right here on Tiger 93.9 FM, streaming online on our website, sportscallauburn.com. J.J. Jackson, Brooks Childress, Tom Peavy, and Trevon Reed all inside our studios today, bringing you Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. Don't forget about the Sports Call podcast that's brought to you by our good friends at Mountain Dew. And join Ice Cold Mountain Dew to go along with the hottest sports talk, Do the Dew, with Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. Now we want to go to our Key of Auburn phone lines and welcome in our next guest. It's none other than our good friend Chris Doering of the SEC Network. Last caught up with him at SEC Media Days. Good to have Chris Doering on the program on Florida Week for the Auburn Tigers. Chris, thanks for the time. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. It's good to be back on with you guys. It's good to be talking about a Florida-Auburn game. It's one of my favorite rivalries from my days as a kid growing up in Gainesville and as a player in Florida. And now to finally get it to resume it with all that's on the line, man, it's a great week.
So let's just start with this, Chris. Be real with us. Be a little bit honest. How surprised are you by Auburn's 5-0 start?
No, I'm pretty surprised by it. I remember sitting at Media Days and talking to Greg McElroy, who was really one of the first guys that I heard was high on Auburn and their potential. You know, I was sold on the defense heading into this year, a little uncertain, as I'm sure everybody was about the quarterback position. But the way things have kind of materialized, I mean, it couldn't have played out any better. But having a defense that's as stout as Auburn's defense is, allowing things to kind of progress, Bo Nix to get his kind of feet underneath him, having the run game carry a lot of the load until, you know, the passing game seems to have been coming along. So it certainly played out probably a little more surprisingly than I would have expected. But,
sure,
you know, I thought this was an Auburn team that had the ability to knock off a few people they probably weren't expected to this year.
Defense, something, of course, that a lot of folks were expecting Auburn to excel at here in 2019. And then when you talk about the football team, of course, the quarterback position is something that comes up first, Chris. What have you noticed in terms of Bo Nix's evolution through these first five games?
Yeah, I think the thing that I've noticed, particularly in the last couple weeks, is his comfort in the offense. It seems like he's understanding his role a little bit more. I think the run game is where we saw probably 2 weeks ago start to take hold, and then it was a significant participant in the run game this past week at home against Mississippi State. And then the progression with the downfield passing, we talked about it on our show on SEC Now on Saturday night. Just looking at him throw for such a high completion percentage on throws 20 yards or more down the field. A couple times receivers made plays for him, but it seems like he's more willing to take some shots and understands when to take those shots. And it certainly is a nice compliment to what they've been able to do in the run game. I mean, obviously getting that full array of receivers back has been big for them, not only in the passing game, but what Anthony Schwartz does to stretch apart a defense with the jet sweep option is significant.
Chris, looking at this Auburn offense as a whole, are you starting to see it expand a little bit more? Does it look like Gus Malzahn is doing some different things and just really trying to expand it, or are you kind of seeing a lot of the same stuff that we've seen from Gus?
You know, I think the thing that I'm most impressed with, I was excited about Gus Malzahn taking back over the play calling duties.
Right.
You know, all the pressure that he was under. I love a guy that say, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down doing it my way. And I played for a guy in Steve Spurrier that was one of the first guys, at least in the modern era, that was a head coach that was also calling ball plays. Could never have imagined him passing off that duty. So I respected the Gus for his willingness to kind of understand that he needed to be the guy calling the plays. Seems to have more rhythm in some of the play calls. And you know, in terms of the core plays, I think it's a lot of the same stuff. They really do a great job of putting defenses in tough situations with formations and shifts and motions. You saw last week against Mississippi State, you had to look at the tape, multiple times there's confusion on alignment and assignment on behalf of the Mississippi State defenders. And, you know, it's one of the things that Florida's going to have to do really a good job of is recognizing and communicating across the board what everybody's, what the coverages are and what the responsibilities are.
You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Doering, talking Auburn in Florida with the Florida former Gator himself. And Chris, when we're looking ahead to Saturday's game between Auburn and those Florida Gators, Bo Nix, obviously the big story for the Tigers, and a lot of folks are, like you're saying, very happy that this rivalry is going to come back, and a lot more folks are specifically highlighting that 1994 game between Auburn and Florida when his father, Patrick Nix, was the quarterback for the Tigers. As someone who was playing in that game, what do you remember from the 94 Auburn and Florida game, Chris?
Well, first off, you know, we went there in 93. It was a great atmosphere. We got beat on a late field goal, so we really felt like we owed Auburn something. We were the number one team in the country. And one of the memories that I finally stick out of my head is Auburn did a great job. They're one of the first defenses at that time that was decided to substitute nickel and dime packages rather than just playing us in base coverages. So a lot more corners on the field. Those guys were up being a little more physical with us, trying to disrupt our timing. And it was a hard-fought back-and-forth game. We had the lead. All we had to do was get off the field on a 4th and 10. Weren't able to do that, and ultimately Frank Sanders catches that corner route from Patrick Nix, and we go down. So 2 years in a row, of all the teams in the conference that we played at that time, nobody played us as well as what Auburn did. Fortunately for Florida fans and for us, we were able to get a victory the next year at Jordan-Hare, my senior year. But one of the real memories is just how passionate the Auburn fans were. I love playing at Jordan-Hare and remember how loud that place was when we had a chance to go there in 93 and 95.
Chris, bringing it back to this year, I want to take a look from the Florida side of things. A lot has been said about this season for the Auburn schedule, but coming up for Florida, they play 3 of the top 10 teams over the next 4 games. How important is this game for the Florida Gators setting up the rest of their season?
It's huge. I mean, to think that Florida has a chance to go 4-0 during that schedule, I think even the biggest Gator fans would be a little optimistic thinking that. So in this conference, you got to win your home games. It gets more difficult next week having to go to Baton Rouge and having to play in the cocktail party in November against Georgia. So taking care of your home field advantage is important. And this is a game that I equated a lot to Florida's Mississippi State game last year. Going to Starkville, beating a team that a lot of people thought was better than Florida, that had a distinct advantage on the defensive line against Florida's offensive line, for them to win that game,
sure.
I feel like it was a big shot of confidence and something that set them on a trajectory that kind of carried them out through the rest of the season. I think the same can hold true for Florida in this one. They win this game, and it sets them up with a big boost of confidence heading into that next 3.
Last 2 questions for you, Chris, before we let you go. You're far too kind with your time. Certainly do appreciate you joining us here on Sports Call today. Give us the sales pitch on Kyle Trask, Chris.
Yeah, I think Kyle's a guy that waited his turn and stayed around when a lot of quarterbacks probably would have transferred elsewhere. You saw how prepared he was when he came in that Kentucky game, understanding where to go with the football. I think one thing that I like about the offense right now, it seems to have a great rhythm with him at the helm, and I think he's just taking what the defense has given him. You know, football's really not that difficult, and I think at times Florida's offense over the last few years under Felipe Franks has pressed a little bit. I think Felipe does a nice job of working through his progression, getting the ball into the playmaker's hands, which is that's really the most talented group on the Florida offense is the wide receivers, letting those guys make plays after the catch. And he's been really judicious in terms of knowing where to go with the football and throwing it with great accuracy.
Time to put you on the spot here, Chris. What happens on Saturday?
Man, you know, I'm not yet ready to commit. I do think right now that Auburn's the better team. I had Auburn number 1 in my poll on Saturday night on the SEC Network. But, you know, this is a rivalry that largely has been successful with the home teams kind of holding court. And I think it's going to take a great effort and a great coaching game plan by Dan Mullen to win this game. But I'll break out the prediction Friday night on the SEC Network.
Paul. Wonderful. Keep taking care of Coach Chizik for us, all right, Chris?
Yeah, he's the best, man. Appreciate you guys having me.